And as they are leaving, I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark. As Paula comes up to read this morning's passage, let's turn in our Bibles to the Word and hear what God has to say.
Reading from Mark chapter 1, verses 35 to 39. And I'm reading from the King James. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon, that's Simon Peter, and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said to them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils.
Thank you, Paul, for the reading of the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As we move into this next part of our service, let's take a moment, perhaps. Let's just take a moment together just to bow our heads in prayer and ask the Lord to help us through his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the ministry of your word. Your word is holy. It is alive. And Lord, we pray that you will use it to correct us, rebuke us, challenge us, encourage us, equip us, Lord. Lord, may your word today help us once again follow your direction, your guidance that we need each and every day. And we thank you, God, that you are always speaking through your word to each one of us. And Lord, may our hearts and ears be open now to what you have to say. And Lord, again, we even pray. We pray in anticipation, Lord, for the courage, and the boldness, and the strength that you will give to us to help apply your word to our lives. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, Lord, be pleasing unto you. Amen. Amen. One of my favorite books of all time is J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings. Everyone ever heard of this before? The book, the movies, it's still pretty big these days. And in this book, one of my favorite quotes is by Bilbo Baggins, who's the Hobbit, who's had to carry the burden of the Ring of Power. And he is telling Gandalf the Grey, his trusted friend, wizard friend, how he is feeling, how he's doing in life. And he says, I feel thin, sort of stretched, like butter scraped over too much bread. Anybody there this morning? You feeling thin? You feeling a little bit weary? And this was Bilbo's way of expressing a very deep weariness in his life, that he'd been carrying a weight that was a little too much for him to carry. And so this is his way of expressing to Gandalf that things weren't going well for him. And that's something I wonder if we can all relate to. Ever go through the day wondering how you will make it? Perhaps it's not even 9 and you're like not sure if you will. It's just life. It stretches us for many different reasons, as it did for Bilbo. And that was because he was carrying a weight that was too much and he was weary. And for one, there are many reasons why each of us might relate to this and might be in this place right now, or perhaps you have been and God's helped you through it. But life will stretch you, and it really makes sense if you've ever tried to, you know, spread just a tiny, tiny piece of butter on a big, it's just not enough. It's you're spread too thin. But for one, you know, we're living in a culture of many distractions. We're living in a culture of busyness. And whether you are young or old, life has a way of filling up fast and overwhelming us, of stretching us too thin. How is that possible? What are some things that kind of make us arrive at that place in life? And it's not fun. It's feeling burnt out and weary and stretched isn't a good place to be in. But with our schedules, with the demands of life, with relationship conflicts, with financial pressures, with all those different distractions in our life, the things that we have to keep up with that we just find hard to. And that's just the few that I can list of. We could list off so many more. But on top of that, it's our own personal struggles or baggage. You know, whether it's something that we're struggling with, whether it's resentment or anger, whether it's habits, those destructive habits that we're just feeling so helpless to overcome. Perhaps it's the insecurities you have or low self-esteem. All of it becomes too much to carry. And so we're stretched and we feel a little thin. Well, listen to what the Bible has to say, because we always got to go back to God's word each and every day. Listen to what Hebrews 12 verse 1 says when it comes to God's calling on our life and how we should and what we are to do each day. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that is those of faith that have gone on before us, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The instruction there is very clear. The Bible says, strip off every weight. You got to remove that weight. You got to get rid of it. Cast it off. Whatever is slowing you down, whatever has got you stuck. And with this verse, what God is teaching us in Hebrews 12 verse 1 is that God's desire is for you and for me to be as free as possible from anything that weighs us down. Anything that weighs us down from living the Christian life that best serves people, the people in front of you, behind you. But not just that, the life that glorifies God. Got to get rid of it. You got to strip it off, whatever that might be. And this scripture reminds us that we are to cast off anything that might get in our way or tangle us up. And that could be, as the word says here, sin, right? Throw off anything that hinders. The sin that so easily entangles could be the stressors, could be the distractions, whatever has got you to that place in life where you feel so busy. Now, you know the saying, something's got to give. You've heard that before? Something's got to give. You might have been in that place recently. So let me ask you, what gives in your life when something has to? What's been giving? Or another way is, what's prone to suffer when you get super busy? When you have a lot, life is filled up, something eventually gives. What is it? Well, you know what? There are some obvious ones that I'm sure you might relate to. There's sleep, right? We stay up too late to get things done. We're exhausted, sleep deprived. There's exercise. And that's already sort of annoying on the good days when you have to do it, when you remember to. And maybe you're glad. Well, I don't know. It's just, again, our health, right? Our overall health, sleep, exercise, and then there's diet. And what happens when we get too tired? We go to the fast food, and that's never really good, is it? Never. But we do. And those are the obvious ones. What gives? Something gives. You know, your life gets filled up. Then there's the deeper things that are affected. And these are the more harder things to kind of have to talk about this morning. Because these are the more deeper things in our life. These are the relationships. These are the parts of our life that when we get busy, it affects them. Like, we don't communicate as well with the people that we love. We don't listen as good. And if we are listening, it's kind of like with one ear, we're kind of like, yeah. And then the question is, did you just hear what I said? And you're like stuck, and you have to either admit that you weren't listening or make something up. Just be honest. You weren't listening. You're too preoccupied. You're too busy, super busy. But that's hard. You know, we become also more anxious. We become more out of touch. So we see that happens as well. Something's got to give, and sometimes it's those deeper things that suffer because of our busyness and life that gets away from us. But the worst thing, and it's not always intentional, but I think when we get busy, we can press pause on our spiritual life. You've pressed pause, folks. You've paused your spiritual life. Nothing's happening. You know what a frame looks like when you've paused the movie to get up and get something, refill. Oh, it happens to us all. It's happened to me. And it's not always intentional, but it happens. Have you ever seen that happen in your life? A little less prayer. We aren't in the book as we should, the book that keeps us from sin, or sin that keeps us from the book. We stop going to church. Who's not here today? That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. But you know what I'm saying. You stop going to church. It's been years. We stop connecting with other believers. That's a big one, folks. That's a big one. We stop having real connections with other believers outside of Sunday morning. And maybe even Sunday morning, the connections that you're having here aren't even real at all. So we need to examine our hearts. Something's got to give. Something has been given. And we need to reflect on that and then get right back with God and with each other. Because if you're not careful, you can wake up one day and the joy is gone. And you're not having a positive impact on the people around you. You're finding it harder to love people and be compassionate. These are good ways to measure if whatever's given, you know, it's the deeper things in your spiritual life that sadly have been affected the most. Have you found yourself a little bit less gracious and gentle with the people that you love the most? Right? These are things to pray about and ask God to help you find. You know, when I'm focused on the Lord as my top priority, and I know many in this room can probably relate to this and agree with this, but when you focus on the Lord as your top priority, you will discover quickly the rest of your life goes much better, right? Maintaining balance in all areas of life, whether it's, you know, between family and work and health, finances, leisure time, things will happen more easily when you have the Lord as your top priority. Distractions, listen, will always be a challenge. The temptation, the reality of busyness will always be a challenge. But focusing on the Lord first will always help the rest of your life fall into place. I said it like that for a reason. But let's hear what Matthew 6 has to say about that, because this is such an important passage that you're going to say later at the end of the service as well. But hear the word of the Lord, because in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 34, Jesus says this. Do not worry. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans, that's a reference to unbelievers, people that aren't born again and spirit-filled, they run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek, what's the next word? First. Everybody say first. First, the kingdom, his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What a great word from the Lord. Praise the Lord that he tells us here to seek him first, and then he shows us in our passage today how we do that. It's great how the Bible backs up the Bible. So always do that when you're reading and studying the Bible. Pray that the Lord will show you in Scripture how to understand Scripture. So in our passage today that Paul read in Mark 1, let's return there, please, in your Bibles. Mark chapter 1. God has said to seek him first, and now we look at his life. Now, we started this passage last week, and so just as a recap, Jesus has had a crazy full day. So he's had a day of being stretched thin. He's had a day of becoming very weary. What happened? Well, earlier in Mark chapter 1, you know, our passage begins at 35, but in 29, verse 29 to 34, we learn that he had had an insane day many of us will never experience. He had a day of preaching at a city called Capernaum. He was teaching in the synagogue, as he usually did, and he eventually makes it to the home of Simon and Andrew, and there, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and Jesus went to her, took her hand, helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. So there's a healing in this home. And then the word gets out. And then everybody from Capernaum eventually makes it to Peter's house because they want to see Jesus. And so the house is full. There's people lined up out the door. They want to see Jesus. And this is already after dinner. So when sundown comes and the Sabbath is over, all the people in Capernaum bring their sick and those possessed with demons for Jesus to heal them. And it goes into the night. So it's a full day. And it had been a wonderfully tiring day of God doing amazing things. It had been a demanding, long day for Jesus, who is fully God and fully man. And so he feels it, and he is tired and weary. And so this is where we get to our text today that we started last week. Watch carefully what Jesus does in verse 35. In verse 35, a late night does not prevent Jesus from an early morning with his Father. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So what does Jesus do? He heads to the door. He does not leave a note. He doesn't tell anybody, this is where I'm going, this is where you will find me. He gets up and he leaves. He's intentional. And he removes himself from the people. He removes himself from the distractions. He separates himself so that he can concentrate on his relationship with his Father. He withdraws. He retreats so that he can focus on God in prayer. Yes, folks, he was God in the flesh. But in the flesh, even the Son of God needed time with his Father. He needed that renewal, that spiritual strength, refreshment, that prayer and prayer alone gives. And so Jesus shows us the priority of prayer. And last week we kind of spent time on that discipline, learning the importance of this spiritual discipline in the life of a devoted follower of Christ. But in verse 36, if we can pick up there, we learn that Simon and his companions went to look for him. Remember, Jesus didn't leave a note. He just was gone. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you," verse 37. So Jesus is praying or finishing up prayer, and then he's interrupted by Peter and some others, and they had been looking for him, and they finally found him. Now, I can sense, and perhaps when you read this verse, Peter isn't very, he's probably not in a great place. He sounds a little bit annoyed, a little bit frustrated. "We've been looking for you for hours." You know, how long do you play hide-and-go-seek until you just give up, right? Gets a little old very fast. So he's kind of at that place now. "Give us a sign. Make a noise. Meow like a cat. Where are you?" And so finally, they find Jesus. And Peter's like, "Where have you been?" And think about this. Just the night before, all these people from Capernaum were at the house, crowding the house. And Jesus had healed them. And amazing things were done. But it's morning, and they're back. More people. It's dawn. People are back at the house, and Peter's saying, "They're waiting for you. People are looking for you, Jesus." Now, this excites the disciples. Can you put yourself in the disciples' shoes? This is exciting. Wow. This is a move of God in Capernaum. And they're excited to see what Jesus is going to do to minister to these people. They have come to Jesus to encourage him to capitalize on this opportunity because of his popularity. And I'm sure they want him to come back to town and do some more miracles so that the people will cling to him even more. So maybe one of his disciples, and I've pictured this way, you know, some of them went out to find Jesus and some of them had to deal with the crowd. And so Peter is like, you know, Andrew's still back at the house dealing with the people. Maybe Andrew's like, "Okay, everybody, Jesus is coming. He's just getting ready. Let's sing another song. Let's have another prayer. He's going to be here at some point." Well, does that happen? No, it doesn't happen. What does Jesus say to Peter in verse 38? What does Jesus say? "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Those last few words are so essential. "That is why I have come." So what does Jesus say to Peter? Basically, he's saying, "Let's pack our bags and head on to the next village." So it's like what Peter just said didn't even hit Jesus. But it did. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. Jesus was not going to let Peter or any other person set the agenda of his life. Do you see that so clearly? You know, how easily that happens. People, you can let people set the agenda for your life if you're not careful. If you're not in time with prayer with God, people will just make your life theirs. So Jesus, of course, says something that Peter wasn't expecting. Peter's like, excuse me? You want to do what? But what about the people that need you back in Capernaum? Because when I read this text, I felt the same way. I'm sure you do too. Yeah, what about those people? Well, Jesus surprises, of course, the disciples, and he does it again by telling them something they do not expect, and they do not see this coming because they still don't understand why Jesus came. So in this verse, Jesus is pointing out the importance of his mission, the purpose of his coming. Jesus came with a mission to accomplish, and God sent him to proclaim the good news of the kingdom, good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And Jesus tells them, I must preach the gospel in other towns because that is why I have come, Peter. That was my purpose, followers. The people there in Capernaum, yes, they are important. Absolutely, they are important to Jesus. And going to a new town to preach the gospel to people that had never heard the gospel is important as well. So both are important, but what does Jesus do here? He lifts up even more the importance of preaching the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the best thing to do. And so the most important thing about Jesus' ministry was to call sinners to repentance and faith, that they may enter the kingdom of God. And this he lifts up above meeting up with the people of Capernaum. Now, in our text, the word translated preach here is from the Greek word kerusso, which means to proclaim like a herald. Everyone in this room can proclaim. You are all heralds. You all have the ability to speak forth a message. And as Christians, the message that God wants us to share with the world is that there is hope. There is peace. And it is found in Jesus Christ alone. But the other, if you notice in our text, the word, it's not just preach, but there's also this word to come out. And it's from the Greek word ekomai, which means to come out forth from a place or an assembly. And so what Jesus is saying to Peter is he's coming out of his life, this moment, his obscurity, to proclaim the good news of salvation. And what was the first thing that Jesus did when he started his ministry? Mark tells us. Rewind back to verse 14. The very first thing that Jesus did after he was baptized and he's getting his disciples together, what does Jesus do? Look with me at verse 14 of chapter 1. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. There's his purpose. So he goes back to that and he tells Peter, this is why I have come. People need to hear the gospel. People need to hear that there is salvation. Peter probably still doesn't get it, but Jesus is very patient, and he's very patient with you and me. By expressing his desire to preach in the next towns, Jesus demonstrates his understanding of the importance of his mission. He is not content to stay in one place, but feels compelled to bring the good news to as many people as possible. And so Jesus tells Peter that he is going to the towns where people had not yet heard what Jesus had to share with them, the gospel. The greatest need that every soul has is to be cured of the sickness of sin. And that is why Jesus placed so much emphasis on preaching the gospel. And that is why in most Protestant churches this morning, that is what takes up the most time in the service. The sermon, the emphasis, the centrality of preaching the gospel, the good news. And the deeper meaning of this verse can be found in, again, Jesus' sense of purpose and mission. And it reflects Jesus' commitment to spreading the message of the kingdom of God and fulfilling his divine calling. How wonderful that we have the example of Christ showing us again today to do the will of the Father. Are you doing the will of the Father this morning in your own life? But can we talk about purpose for a moment here? Because this is what Jesus is prioritizing. He's prioritized already the lesson on prayer. We need to be a people of prayer. But he's also showing us the importance of having purpose. And your purpose and mine can get lost in the busyness of life and all the distractions that we face. But let me first tell you that none of us are here by chance. God has put you here for a purpose. And the most important thing we can do is discover that purpose and then commit ourselves to it every day. God's purpose for you and for me is this. God wants us to know him. God wants you to know him by personally giving your life to Jesus Christ. Summed up just like that. Then he wants us to discover what it means to live for him in obedience. Like I showed you earlier in Matthew 6, the Bible says, seek first now the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And it's the all these things that always come up and replace Jesus and his kingdom. So it's taking those things and putting them back there again, because God's going to take care of that. He's going to take care of you. We must ask this question, though. What am I living for? I've been living for this past week, let alone the last 48 hours. Has it been for myself, money, pleasure, happiness? Am I living for my security and success? Well, none of these things will ever fulfill us completely. For we are made for a relationship with God, and we will only find true meaning and purpose in Christ alone. You know, there are those who have made self the center of life. We see that all around us in our culture. It's a very self-centered culture, if you haven't already noticed. But this is, as followers of Christ, where we need to be on guard, because we can get sucked into that as well and not realize that the only person that I've been thinking about all day is myself. So that's why it's good to have people in your life that God puts there to help you be like, wait, you know, it's not just about you. You know, I know teenagers, there might be some in here. That's a phase you hope that they grow out of, right? You know, spending hours in front of the mirror. It's like nobody else lives in the house except for them. They're not in here, so I can start ranting. They're serving the Lord in the nursery. Praise God. But we're very, very aware of this, because it doesn't change when you're adults. If you were to get to the end of your day and think about the choices you made, how much of them were about you? How much of them were about the Lord? And then, you know, whatever that is, you know, deal with it. Get right with God. He gives us fresh starts every day. Praise the Lord. But there are those that have made self the center of their life and not realizing it, and how easy that can happen, particularly in today's self-serving society. So we must make what? A turnabout face. We must commit ourselves again and again to Christ Jesus by asking him to come into our hearts as our Savior and Lord, by recommitting to being devoted to him, to his word, to his values, to how he wants you to live, not how you want to live. When you know Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, you will find purpose and meaning in your life that the world cannot provide. Is that true? Yes. Jesus came to spread the good news of salvation, that those sitting in the darkness of sin might see the great light. Now back to our text, because again, Peter and the companions, they were very caught off guard by what Jesus said. But Jesus makes it very clear, this is why. Yes, there are people looking for me, but there are people in the next village that have never heard the good news of the gospel, that I've come, that salvation is possible now. And so it ends. So he traveled throughout Galilee, and what is he doing? Preaching in the synagogue and driving out demons. So that's what we learn, because he keeps doing that. The healing actually continued. Jesus continues to change lives. The healings, the miracles, the wonders continue. But what they always did was reinforce the message that he preached. Okay, so we don't chase after signs and wonders and miracles, right? Chase after the gospel, proclaim the gospel, number one. God will then, through his power, do amazing things that will help us to believe that what his message was is true. So Jesus knew his purpose. Okay, Jesus spends his time with the Father, and then he moves forward with God's purpose for his life So that important principle that we must remember again today is that prayer reinforces our purpose for living. And that is sometimes what we need to always remember and do first. Spending time with God in prayer and his word will guide you to him. I love Psalm 14, verse 2. And I pray that this will be your heart's prayer as well. Because we are reminded that the Lord looks down from heaven. And he looks on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. Do you want to be that person? I pray that you do. Psalm 14, verse 2. God is looking down from heaven to see if there are any who understand, any who seek after God. So knowing our purpose in life helps us to do a number of things. Where it helps us, it clarifies our daily commitments, puts things back in order, puts things in perspective. It centers our efforts on the things that God has called us to do. So I'd encourage you this morning, followers of Christ, be like Jesus. Take time to pray, to sort out your priorities before God and gain his direction for your life. The message of the gospel is very simple, and if you know it, say it with me. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the message of the gospel. And if you this morning need healing from the sickness of sin, Jesus is the answer. Come to him and be saved. The invitation is there. God invites you. If you have never been saved, we invite you. I invite you to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Seek out forgiveness because through his presence, through his power, he helps us to be aware that we are sinners in need of a Savior. God loves you and he will save you and deliver you from sin if you will just come to him today. Whatever that is, he will remove that burden from you. And if you are here today and you are saved, but you are not where you need to be with the Lord, because life can stretch us and remove us from where we need to be, well, my encouragement to you is to this: you need to come home. You need to come back to God. He will forgive you. He will restore you today. If you have been stuck in sin, what does Hebrews say again at the beginning? Throw it off, cast it aside. No more tolerating sin. He will restore you, but you need to come back. If your prayer life needs work, there is no better place to begin than with a time of prayer today before you leave, asking God to help you today in whatever that area is in your life. Perhaps it's you've lost your purpose. Perhaps it's neglecting your prayer life. But how grateful we can be today that in the text, in the life of Christ this morning, we see again prayer as a priority that will make all our other priorities more manageable and less stressful. But also, prayer will reinforce purpose. Let our prayer time, let your prayer time be a time of rest in God, and let him renew you and strengthen you and sharpen your faith before another week begins. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again today for your word. Lord Jesus, our desire today is to be more like you. Oh Lord, increase that desire. Increase that desire in our hearts to be more like you even more than yesterday and even more for tomorrow. Lord, help us to walk in your ways. Help us to obey your teaching and think more like you as we spend time in your word. And help us, Lord, we pray, to be influential like you were, and to see your plans and purposes fulfilled in our life. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord, that you are a forgiving and gracious God. Forgive us, we pray, of our sins. Forgive us when we have, Lord, turned away from you, when we have allowed the things of this world to come between our relationship with you. God, forgive us. We repent, Lord, of tolerating sin. We repent of neglecting our spiritual life. Oh, Lord, forgive us, we pray. Thank you, God. Lord, for your presence and for the plan that you have for each one of us, and that is to advance your kingdom one life at a time. In Christ's name we pray.